2 Timothy chapter 2. How many service men do we have here this morning? You're in the service. Raise your hand. I want you to raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Thank you. All right. Second, now I spent 3 years, 11 months, 29 days, and 9 hours in the Navy. I suppose you guys, it's an Army base here?
Yeah.
Army base here. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 2, now verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. Now I take it for granted I'm preaching to those guys maybe, but I'm not really preaching to them. I'm preaching to all of you, okay? Why? Because you're a good soldier. You're a good soldier. If you're saved, you're a good soldier. If you're here this morning and you're lost, you want to learn how to be a soldier. Because you're not fighting any kind of battle till you get in the Lord's army. And I don't care how good life is to you or how bad life is to you, you're not doing nothing till you get in the Lord's army. If you're saved here, you're in the Lord's army. You are. You're in the Lord's army. That's why he said a good soldier. Now, there's some soldiers, but there's some good soldiers. So we're not just to be a soldier, we're to be a good soldier. A good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray this morning that you'll just cleanse my mind of any sin, Father, that may be in there. Lord, I pray you'd cleanse my heart from any sin that may be in there. Lord, wash it and cleanse it. And Lord, I pray even this morning, if my spirit is wrong, Lord, make it right, Father, before you. Lord, you judging me. You seeing me, Father, as you see me. Lord, may there be no controversy, Lord, between you and me. And Father, I pray if there's some devil inside me even this morning, by the blood of Jesus Christ, I command him to leave me, be from me even now by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that you would do the work that must be done this morning in the heart of your people. Lord, I can't do nothing. Lord, you know that. Lord, it would be hot air. It would be vain effort. It will be worthless. It will come to naught. Lord, it will be more harm than good, Father, if you don't do the work. Lord, please do the work today that must be done. Lord, may it not be forgotten. Lord, help them to remember it in years to come. Lord, help them to, may it stick with them, Lord, please. May it stick with them. In Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now look at my text again. It says in the passage, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Then this is one of the main things about the Christian life, is that you've got to remind yourself again and again and again that you're in a warfare and you're to endure hardness. Anybody don't have a Bible? Anybody like to have a Bible, don't have one? Raise your hand. Anybody like to have a Bible, don't have one? Yeah, you look on to your friend right there. You look on with him. Because I'm going to get some verses this morning, go through some with you. Now, you're a soldier, and this is one of the main things in the Christian life is to keep in mind that you're to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Not just a soldier, but a good soldier. And there's all kinds of soldiers. There's all kinds of them. But then when he talks about a soldier here in the passage and likens to you and me as the Christian life and our walk to heaven, we're to remind ourselves, ladies, they would call that the wax. Is that right? The wax? Okay. If it's the wax. Is that Navy? That's Army's the wax. What's the Navy for women? The waves. The wax, the waves, and what else? And the what?
Wax.
Okay. That's for the ladies. So the same thing goes for you. You're a soldier of Jesus Christ, and you're to fight a good fight, and you're to do what? Endure some hardness. So a lot of that preacher's preaching. I guarantee you, a lot of that preacher's preaching is to make soldiers out of you. He's to train some soldiers. He's not training a bunch of nursery people.
Yeah.
He's not making a bunch of nursery. When you look at a church, you shouldn't look at a church and think, oh, that's a nursery. It ain't no nursery. It ain't no nursery. Or some people look at a church and they say, that's a hospital for a bunch of sick folk.
Yeah.
No, it ain't a hospital. You know what it is? It's an army base to train soldiers and make them tough.
That's right.
You say, how do you make a soldier tough? You know how you make a soldier tough? You beat him. You say, suck in your gut. Stick out your chest. Stand up straight. Say yes, sir, or no, sir. See, you beat him. And you know what that preacher does? He's nailing you. And what for? You just get it on this side and this side and this side, and you say, oh, man alive. That's to make you tough. Make you tough. This world is out against you, and they don't like you, and they're not for you. And they're not for that book, and they don't love Jesus Christ. And they don't love you. So what do you got? You say it's going to get better. It ain't going to get better, brother. As this thing goes on and this thing goes on, it's going to get harder and harder and harder and harder. And so what do you got to do? You know what you got to do? You got to be here and make a soldier out of you so you get tough and tough and tough. And when this world starts to put on the pressure and it's going to get worse, it ain't going to get better.
That's right.
It's going to get worse. That you're still in your pew, in your place, in your seat, saying, give it to me. And you're still out there putting out the book and putting out the word because you're a soldier.
Yeah.
And you don't quit just something comes off. Bomb goes beside you, you say, that's the way it goes, and keep right on shooting. Yeah. I mean, if one hits you, I mean, you've ever been hit with a bomb? Boy, I'm talking spiritually as a soldier, boy. Sometimes a bomb goes off and you say, oh man, I want to quit. Not a soldier. You with me?
Yes, sir.
He gets a bullet here, and he gets a bullet here, and he keeps on going. I read a story of a guy fighting in the army, and he was in Korea, and he was running up a hill fighting a bunch of the enemy. And as he ran up there, the machine gun shot him, and one shot him in the hip. But he didn't stop. He kept right on going. And he got up about 20 feet or 30 feet from the bunker, and he takes a grenade and gets ready to throw that grenade. And a machine gun comes across there and shoots his arm off right there. And his arm drops in the ground. He drops on the ground, and he comes true. And he sees the grenade sitting in his hand. And that guy pried that grenade out of that shot-off arm and pried it out there and threw it with the other hand. When I read that story in that book, I thought to myself, that's the kind of soldier we need to be. I mean, brother, if you get shot up like that, you don't go out of the church and say, I'm never going back to that church again. Nobody patted me on the back and nobody said a good job. Nobody even shook my hand and smiled at me today.
Yeah,
you with me? Them Christians walk out the door and say, nobody even shook my hand. No, but the preacher didn't even look at me today. Oh, I don't think I'm going back to that church again. You don't think that don't happen with some people?
Yes,
you know what they are? They're not a soldier.
That's right.
They're not a soldier. You know what it does? A soldier comes and the preacher nails him and stomps on his feet, and he gets out there and says, boy, he was talking right at me. I did that 3 or 4 times this week. Lord, what am I going to do? Yeah, I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to come back and get some more. That's a soldier. That's a soldier. That's what a soldier does. He just keeps on coming, keeps on coming, keeps on coming, keeps on coming. My text says, therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. When things cross your path that is contrary to you, you say, that is the word of God. That's the Bible. I'm going to change to match the book. You see? That's a soldier. That's a soldier. And you're going to have to become a better soldier as time goes on. All right, number one. I want you to write this down or take some notes or something or get one of these tapes, I guess. A good soldier of Jesus Christ, underline it, knows his weapon. Take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I want you to underline a couple of verses of Scripture. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And let's see some things about a soldier. Let's see some. This is the soldier. This is the Christian soldier. The Lord has given to you and giving you the exact pattern, tells you about it, tells you what you're supposed to do about it. Ephesians chapter 6, and let's pick up verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor. Underline that word. The whole armor. What is the whole armor? That's a soldier fighting a fight.
Yes,
He's fighting a spiritual fight. And his fight is a real sure enough fight. I put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of who?
Devil.
The devil. You know who the devil is? The devil's one of your enemies.
Amen.
He's one of your enemies. All right. The wiles against the devil. The wiles of the devil. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now underline that. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, Christians don't know who the enemy is.
Yeah, right. Amen.
They don't know who the enemy is. They lose track of the real enemy. The devil is your enemy. The world is your enemy. And the flesh is your enemy. You got three enemies. You better write them down. You got three enemies in this spiritual warfare. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Now notice here, it said, we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. Now who's flesh and blood? Is the preacher's wife flesh and blood? Come on, man. Sure she is. She's not your enemy. She's not your enemy.
Right.
He's not your enemy. She's not your enemy. He's not your enemy. But you know what Christians do? They get this thing all messed up, and they kind of think that one another's your enemy.
Uh-huh.
You know where a lot of churches have problems? In fighting amongst each other.
Yeah.
Man, I've been preaching for 25 years, and I know where a whole lot of Christians, they get to, I can tell by the way they talk. They act like so-and-so's your enemy. Or they even think the preacher's your enemy. I ain't your enemy. He ain't your enemy. Why do you think that kind of stuff? You know why? Because the devil has got you off the track and got you fighting one another instead of him, instead of the flesh, instead of the world. You better know who your enemy is. You better get good glance on him. Good. I'm not your enemy. I'm for you. I'm for you. I'm here to help you. And yet some of you go away and you lamb blast him, and you've lamb blasted a lot of preachers. And you've lamb blasted a lot of Christians. You know something? You've lost track of who the enemy is. All right? Again, a good soldier knows his weapon. What is his weapon? Take your Bible in Ephesians chapter 6. Notice it says in verse Ephesians 6, verse, where's that sword of the Spirit? Verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? Now the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What is your weapon? That is your weapon. Then a good soldier knows his weapon. You guys in the Army, do they make you, you know what they did when I was in the Navy? They made me take a 45. And take that 45, and you had to take it, and you had to field dress it. Do they still call field dressing it? And that's the taking. You got to take that thing down to a certain part. And then you go beyond the field dress it. You take that 45 and take every piece out of there that is in there. And they had me do it. I'd take every piece out of it. And then I'd take and put every piece back in it and look over there, and there was about 5 pieces left. And I'd take it apart and get them all in there and put it back together again. And there was about 4 more pieces over there. Taking it apart and put it back together again. And there's some more pieces in it. And finally, I got it apart and looked and nothing left. got it together. And then do it again. What for? So you can know the weapon. You got to learn that. You got to take that thing and take it apart and learn it and memorize it and hide it in your heart and hide it in your heart and hide it in your heart, or you won't get the victory over the enemy. You'll lose the battle without knowing your weapon. You know something? When Jesus come to the devil on the Mount of Temptation, you know what he said? He said, "It is written. It is written. It is written." And if Jesus Christ can do it to the devil, why can't you do it? Why don't you do it? Why do you think that your brain is any better? You know what you do? You give him, well, my intelligence and my smart is, I've got the right answer. And then you lose the battle. Amen, brother. You lose the battle. You got to know your weapon. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, And look at verse 15. Now it says, 2 Timothy 2:15. Now look at it. Study. Study. Oh, what a word. Study. Who likes to study? I mean, study. I just don't want to study. Oh, I hate study. You with me? Come on.
Yeah.
Did you love school? How many just love school? Raise your hand. How many? You did? Oh, that's good. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad. How many of you did not like school?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, that makes me feel good. Oh, boy, I'll tell you. Why, you know what this book says? What that book just say right there?
Study.
See that?
Yeah.
See that? You say, well, preacher, I never did like it. You better start liking it.
Yeah.
Because he said, study. And you don't like it. You just all raised your hand and said you didn't like it. You did. You sure did. Oh, you were lying to me. You wasn't lying, was you? I mean, you was not lying. You told the truth. Okay? That book right there just said, study to show thyself approved unto God. You know what that is? You better know that weapon. A good soldier knows his weapon. Now, brother, that'll defeat any battle that ever against you, or the flesh ever against, or the world ever gives against you. Better know your weapon. All right? Take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and look at verse 4. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now turn to 2 Timothy chapter 10 and look at verse 4. Here it is again. You better know your weapon. You better learn your weapon. You better study your weapon. You'd be out there in the middle of a firefight sometime, or be out there in the middle of fighting the enemy, and you get out there and your gun jams.
Right.
And the gun jams. And you just say, what's the gun jamming? You're out there and you're getting ready to lead a soul to Jesus Christ, and you reach in there and you say, where's that verse at?
Right.
Where's that verse at? Where's that verse at? It's somewhere in there.
Right.
You with me? You're gun jammed. Your gun jammed. It just jammed, brother. You was looking for the verse and you didn't know where the verse is at, and you can't give them the verse because you don't know where it is.
Yes,
your gun jammed. You know what could happen about that time? You get your head blown off. You say, that's right? Yeah, try it with some Mormon sometime.
Yeah.
And a Mormon's got his verse and you can't find your verse with some Mormon. You say, a Mormon preacher? Yeah. Yeah, some Mormon. I don't care. I don't care if you say, well, you're land blasting somebody's religion. A Mormon is trusting in baptism to save them.
Amen.
They say so. They say you got to be baptized to be saved. If you're trusting in water baptism to save you, it'll take you to hell like a bullet.
Amen.
You're going to hell trusting in water baptism. Water baptism won't save anybody.
That's right. That's right.
You see? You're gun jammed. You're gun jammed. All right, again, you should know your weapon. All right, a good soldier of Jesus Christ keeps in step. Number two, a good soldier of Jesus Christ keeps in step. In step with what? The other Christians. Keeps in step with the other Christians. You know what some Christians are? They're like this, like they're the only soldier there is, fighting all by themselves, fighting the good fight. Or something, you're not the only soldier there is.
Right.
And you're not fighting just by yourself. You got to keep in step, brother. You got to keep in step. I'll tell you something. You try to fight the battle by yourself and you get way out there in the front and there's nobody by you, just you. I got news for you. There's some soldiers right here that you better pay attention to.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You see that?
Yes, sure do.
You got to keep in step. You see, how's that? It's just like this. Well, I went in the Navy and I joined the Navy and I got saved a few weeks out of boot camp. But as I went in boot camp, I was still lost. And I joined the Navy, and the first thing they do is cut all your hair off.
Yeah.
I don't know if they still do that or not, but with me, they just come on, they skinned you bald from the top like that, and that hair wasn't that long. And I went in, it didn't bother me. I just said, skin her off, man. I don't care what it looks like anyway. Just skin her off. But some of those guys come in there, and boy, they had big old curly locks on. And I seen some of them 17-year-old boys just cry. Just live across the top of that, and tears would come to their eyes when them old curly locks went off. Boy, leaning across there. And I kind of thought it was funny, you know. Me, I just kind of sat back there, and I just kind of looked at the tears, you know. I just kind of chuckled inside and laughed. And it didn't bother me none. And just went on. But you know what that does? That makes you a soldier. Boy, they better keep right on cutting them hair, that hair off, because that makes a soldier out of you. And I got in the Navy, and the first thing they'd do, they'd make me march and march and march and march and march and keep in step. And I couldn't keep in step. I'd always be out of step like this. And the first class would say, he put me right in front. They called it the guide arm bearer. And the whole company was there, and I had carried a flag out in front like this. The guide arm bearer carried that flag. And I'd be out in front like that, and he'd, the first class would say, Demas, you're out of step. And I'd go, get back in again. And I'd be going, he'd say, Venus, you're out of step. And I'd go, get back in step again and go. And I just couldn't. I kept thinking, yeah, step, I'm in step. And just keep right on going. And he said, come on, come on, come on, get in step. And he took the flag away from me and put me back in the troop back in there. And put me back in there, and pretty soon I couldn't stand. I don't know how that guy could tell. With all those troops, he walked beside us like that. I don't know how he could see my feet down through there and tell I was out of step. And I'd be right in the middle, hid. And he'd say, Venus, you're out of step. And I'd go, and I said, how can he tell, man? He can't see me. He's on the other side. How can he tell? He'd see me out of step, and I'd keep right on going. And finally, I was way back at the end of that company. I started out with a flag, man. And I'm on the very tail end of that thing, back here in the back, and he's walking like this, and I say, he's looking right at my feet all the time. Keep in step. You know what you got to do? You got to keep in step. Yes. Got to keep in step. One day we had an inspection. We always had inspections. And they have what they call a white hat skivvy shirt inspection. And a white hat, I don't know if they still got them or not, that old white hat was that navy hat that was round like this, and then it sat on your head, and then it shot right up. Do they still have that Navy hat? They changed them there for a while, and then went back to them. And that white hat was like that. But if you took that white hat and flipped it off like this, it had a ring around it. If you had just a little bit of dirt, it would show up on the inside of that thing. And then if you took your skivvy shirt, and you reached down in here like this, and you turned it out like this, and it had some cotton right there like that on them, and if you had any dirt on you, any a bit, man, that thing, they'd see it. And we was always having white hat skivvy shirt inspection. You'd flop that hat open like that and turn that T-shirt out like that. And always had to have your shoes shined like that. And one day we had an inspection. And we come out there for this inspection, and I kept a handkerchief. I kept my handkerchief, and I'd fold it and put it down in here like this. You know, like that, and keep that handkerchief down in it, and then just wait until the time come, and then as it come, and I just jerk that handkerchief out, and well, I was ready to go, you know. And the inspection was coming there, and the first class was checking us over beforehand, and we had what's called leggings on. Had these leggings that you had, I don't know if they got those or not, but this legging would go around and wrap that legging around up like this. And then they had what they call a duty belt, and that duty belt would go around you like that. And I'd forgotten my duty belt and left it back in the barracks. And he come along there and said, Venus, where's your duty belt? And I said, well, it's back in the barracks. He says, you got 5 minutes to run to that barracks and get that duty belt and come back. If you don't make it back, you've had it. And so I took off running. Bo and I ran for 2 blocks as hard as I could, got that duty belt, and ran back. And after running 2 blocks, you know what that skivvy shirt's going to look like? And that white hat, you know what it's going to look like? Oh, boy, it's going to look like mud. And I looked at the hat, and I says, oh, man, I'll never make this one. Boy, this is going to be a rough one. And I stand there anyway, and says, nothing I can do now. I flip it out, and flip that white out, and boy, I could see it, just a ring around it that wouldn't quit. And I knew that was black. And that guy come by, and that was a... He had a birds on a thing here, and he come by there and looked at me, some big shot, you know, and he come by there and looked at me and had eggs on top of his hat, you know, one of them big shots. And I thought, boy, I got it this time. And he walked by, and he just come by and just shook his head. I said, you don't have to do that. I know it's bad. And he went on by, and that first class comes and says, "Bemis, you really messed up now." And I said, "I'm sorry." And he says, "You marched behind the company, 20 feet behind the company." And so I marched behind the company for 20 feet. I mean, 20 feet behind that company, man, I'd march it. And he'd say, "Bemis, take off your white hat." I'd take it off. He said, "Punch it inside out." I'd punch it inside out. He said, "Put it back on." And then when you punch that white hat inside out and put it on, it comes way down here like this. I mean, way down here, boy. You put that thing on and pull it down like this. I mean, it's worse than a dunce hat, boy. Yank it down there like that. Yank that thing down. And I'll be marching along the company like that. And he said, "Bemis, sound like a pig. Go oink." I go, "Oink." He'd say, "Louder, Bemis, louder." I'd go, "Oink." And for 2 weeks behind that company, I'd go, "Oink." Now, why that pulled on, "Oink." I mean, that'll humble you, boy. That'll humble you. Get you down. You say, "What are you doing?" He's building soldiers. He's building a soldier. You know what God has to do to you sometimes? Sometimes he has to turn you upside down and inside out and make you look like a pig. You know what for? To put you in the right place, sir, to make a soldier out of you and make you strong. So when the world does that to you, you just say, "Let's go, fella, I can take it, let's go." And go for it. And you're not thin-skinned and somebody look at you cross-eyed and you quit. Come on! Make a soldier out of you. You got to be able to what? Keep in step and take some hardness come to you. A good soldier of Jesus Christ does what? He learns how to obey orders. A good soldier says what? Says, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir." Don't you ever forget it. You're to learn how to obey orders what God gives you in this book. And if you don't know how to obey orders, you won't be a good soldier. You know what happens to a lot of soldiers nowadays? They say, "Well, let me see. Is that a good order or is that a bad order? If that's a bad order, I'm not going to obey it." No way in God's army can you ever say, "Is it good order or a bad order?" You say, "Did God say it? Then I'll obey it." You know what's wrong with a lot of Christians nowadays? They don't know how to obey orders. They don't know how to take orders. Yeah. And when the Holy Spirit says something to them, they argue with him. Yeah. You with me? Yeah. They argue with him. "So I don't know. I don't know about that. That's just your opinion. That the book said so." Mm-hmm. Then learn to take orders. Say, "Yes, sir, Lord. Yes, sir, I'll take them." Women, come on. Learn how to take orders. Learn how to say yes before the Holy Spirit and the Lord. When he sends you into the battle, you're going to go in and you're going to come out and you're going to say yes, sir, no, sir. I read a story of a man that spent 30 years on a island out there in the Pacific. And the name of the book was called No Surrender. And that Japanese, any of you ever read that one? You read that one? You read that one? Wasn't that a book? Man, that was a story. 30 years, that fella stayed on that island, that Japanese fella, and fighting that war. I mean, after the war is plumb over, he's out there fighting it and fighting it and fighting it. For 30 years, he's still fighting it. And I read in that book, it said that his sister and his brother, several years after the war was over, tried to come and talk him into surrendering. And he wouldn't do it. And as his sister was out there hollering through a microphone, his sister said, "If you don't believe us, load up your gun and come on out." And he said to himself, "I had to laugh because I kept my gun loaded for 30 years. Woo! Woo! He kept it loaded for 30 years! 30 years! He kept it loaded, ready to go! And some of you don't know 10 verses.
Amen, amen.
If I ask you to stand up this morning and say, "Give me 10 verses on hell," you'd go, 10 verses on hell. Give me 5 verses on salvation, you'd stand up and say, Jesus wept.
Yeah.
There's more truth in that than you know. You say what? You haven't kept that gun loaded. You haven't kept it loaded. No shells. You haven't only got a gun. And that fellow out there, he kept his gun loaded day after 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 day for 30 years. I thought to myself, how come God's people can't be like that man and be a soldier and know the book inside and outside, and when the enemy comes up, BAM! They've got him. They've got him. A good soldier of Jesus Christ not only knows how to obey orders, he knows who the enemy is. The enemy's the flesh, the enemy's the world, and the enemy's the devil. Take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 12. Turn to Romans chapter 12. You know what's wrong with a whole lot of Christians? They don't realize that the world is their enemy. They say, well, the devil's my enemy. I knew that. I knew the devil was my enemy. But the world, my enemy? Now turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. Didn't you know something? The world is your enemy. And you say, preacher, how's the world so many? You know what some Christians do? They want to be like the world. They want to talk like the world. They want to act like the world. And first thing the world comes up with a new thing, that's what they want to be like.
Right.
And it comes along, here comes the first fad that comes along, and a whole lot of Christians, I'm saying, say born-again Christians,
right,
they say, oh, isn't that neat?
Yeah.
And they want to be just like the world is. And you want to be act like them, walk like them, smell like them, and do what they do. A fad. All these wild colors. You know, we got a generation that everybody's got something wild looking. Well, you know something? You say, well, how should a Christian look? He should just look as plain as he can look. But he shouldn't follow the world and go the world's methods and the world's ways. Look at here. You know how come you spy this Christian? You watch so much television, and so much television comes across your path that when you see something on television, you say, that's what I want to be like, that's what I want to be like, that's what I want to be like, that's what I want to be like. They become your heroes. Who is the best basketball player in America today? Humpty Dumpty. I don't know one of them. I couldn't tell you one basketball player in America today. I don't know one of them. One guy's tall, and the rest of them are all black. Who's a famous football player in America today? I couldn't name one football player. They're all black. I couldn't name one white one. You say, preacher, how come you don't know who the football players are? I don't really care. I don't care.
Amen.
You know who I think is a hero? I think a hero is Elijah the Tishbite. I think he's a hero, man. Elijah, you know, when I look at Elijah, I think Elijah was a man out there, went out there that put his hand up in the air and said, you're going to hell! And I bet the fear of God went on him.
Yes, sir.
I think Elijah, the Tishbite, is a hero. You know, one of my heroes is David. David, the king of Israel, the psalmist of Israel, writing books. Come on,
yeah.
Writing books. And creating musical instruments. And the king of Israel, a king. You know something? David's my hero. I want to be like David. Oh, I'm nowhere near him. I'm not even in the same class with him. I know I can't. But you know, if I was going to have a hero, that'd be my hero.
Amen.
Hero. And some of your heroes is some basketball player. Let me ask you something. You suppose God is up in heaven looking down and seeing the Rose Bowl or the Cotton Bowl or the Sugar Bowl or the whatever bowl it is, and he's looking down there like that, and he says, boy, that guy can really kick that football. Michael, come here, come here. Look at that kick, man. Gabriel, come watch this, man. Look at that go. Go, man, go. Whoa, man, What a catch! What a catch! Oh, man, what a job he did. You suppose that? Not on your life. You know what he's doing? He's looking down here and he's seeing some sinner open up a New Testament with another sinner and saying, let me tell you about Jesus on the cross. Jesus died for your sins. He paid for your sins. He was crucified and he was nailed to the cross. And that old sinner says, you're right, you're right. I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to burn. I deserve to go there, but I don't want to go. I don't want to go. You're right. I'll believe he died for me. I'll trust him as my Savior. I need him. I need him. I need him. You know what they're doing up in heaven? They're going, oh, look at this, you guys. Come on, look at there's another one. There's another one. There's another one. You know something? This world has got some of you. It's got some of you. And you think this preacher's crazy because you think that's what's going on in heaven. And in this, in your life, you're thinking, oh boy, these things are it down here. This world is it. And you know what God thinks about us? Not that much. You know why? Because you're not a very good soldier. A good soldier knows who his enemy is. It's a world. It's a flesh. And it's the devil. A good soldier stays in step. A good soldier knows his enemy. He knows his weapon. What kind of soldier are you? What kind of soldier are you? Is this preacher making a soldier out of you? Well, you're getting tougher and tougher and tougher and tougher. And you're not this real thin thing where you're just thin skin where some little old message comes on you. Just, oh man, I just can't take no more of that. It's always just, I'm just sick and tired of that. Don't you ever get that away. You become a stronger soldier, and every negative message he ever preaches to you, you just say, give me more, preacher, give me more, give me more, give me more. And then when the time comes and you get in a sure enough battle, you ain't been in a sure enough battle yet. Yes. You ain't hit one yet, brother. If the Lord tarries, you're going to see some battles come. But there's going to be some. This world hates Jesus Christ and hates that book, and they're going to be out to nail your hide. Yes, sir. You become a strong soldier, you say. You be there. I'll tell you what makes a soldier. Sunday morning service. I'll tell you. Now, come on. Yeah. Sunday night service.
Go ahead.
Wednesday night, boy, you start kind of stuff. Now, maybe your church not this way, but I'll tell you what mine is. Sunday morning, I'm packed out. Sunday night, half. Wednesday night, half of that half. Tuesday night visitation, it's down to just 4 and 5. You say, you're separating the soldiers. You got that Sunday morning crowd, they just come. And they just come, they just kind of come in, get a little preached at, and just kind of smooth, and the preacher will preach a nice message, maybe even a sound message, salvation, that, because that won't get me. You with me? That won't really cause me to do something. But then, boy, if I got to come Sunday night, he's not going to preach to unsaved people, he's going to get me. And then if I go Wednesday night, oh, he's going to get me again. I just think you folks are just too much fanatics. You just go to the church every time the door's open. You're not a soldier. You're not a soldier, and you won't ever be a soldier.
Uh-huh.
You won't ever be one. You with me?
Yeah.
You say, how can I become a soldier? I'll tell you one of the best ways in the world how to become a soldier. Come every time the door is open.
Yeah.
You say, preacher, well, then that means cost, don't you? Yeah, see, you don't want to pay the cost. Mm-hmm. If you pay the cost, you know something? You'll eventually become a soldier that counts for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be a good soldier. When I get to heaven, I want to be in my uniform, and I want to go up there, and I want to have an arm going like this.
Yes.
In a battle somewhere with the flesh. Come on, you with me?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't win the battle, but I kept on going.
Yeah.
And the old flesh got me. I lost the battle, but I didn't quit, Lord.
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah.
And I get to heaven, and I say, Lord, I lost the battle, and I come up with some scars. But Lord, I didn't quit for you. You with me?
Amen.
Just because you lose a battle and you lose a battle and you lose a battle with that old man, don't you quit. You keep right on the fight because the battle ain't over.
Amen.
And you've lost some. You ain't going to win them all.
Yeah, right.
You ain't going to win them all. But be a good soldier. Keep on right down to the end.